Hey, winning at life. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. This is the Daily Wrap, live financial talk radio. I'm going to help you out with what to do.
I'm your co-host, James Parker.
Oh, I hadn't finished helping him.
I'm sorry. Look, he just came on the TV. It's an interview. We could
things they were saying to him.
What show is it on?
It's on the new Trish Regan show.
Trish Regan.
All right, focus. We have our own show to do.
Okay. Get the phone. Make the call.
Look at you.
504-260-0995.
You get the phone. Make the call. Or you can make the call from the Winning at Life app. Send us a text message from the Winning at Life app. And, yeah, so they mixed up the lineup on Fox Business. Now, Trish Regan live, her little primetime show, is on during our show, which means Kennedy comes on after our show, and I actually got to watch her yesterday when I got home. So, hey, I wanted to just go on trust here. I'm setting some stuff up for when you're going to be at the benefit concert on Thursday. I'm going to be here, and we're going to do sort of a Casey Case and play the hits from Gregory Ricks. And I picked out our topic, what we're going to do, and it's going to be mostly about IRAs. I'm sorry, trusts. Now, a lot of that's going to have something to do with IRAs and trust. And IRAs are just one of the things we're going to touch on. But the two kinds of calls that I think we get the most is Social Security, far and away, is number one. But trust is probably right behind that at number two. And, you know, we do a good job touching on it and covering different aspects of it. But at some point, I like to just back up a little bit and do some basic stuff. Because if you ask me what a trust is, before I looked it up earlier today, it would have taken me 10 sentences to explain it, because it can do so much and it's such a vague concept, a trust. So I went to Wikipedia, because that's basically.
And how did that go for you?
It went great. A trust is a three-party fiduciary relationship in which the first party, the trustor or settlor, transfers a property upon the second party, the trustee, for the benefit of a third party, the beneficiary. And I know that sounds amazingly vague, but that's dead on. It's supposed to be that amazingly vague. Oh, it's over here. Is this what you're looking for? Yeah. So what we're faced with after that is, okay, well, let's talk about the different kinds of trust. And we're not going to go over that. We've attempted to do that in one show before, and it never works. But in history, the trusts go back to ancient times, but in Western civilization, we had the testamentary trust long before we had the living trust. What do they call that? Inter vivos trust. Don't you love a good little bit of Latin in there? So we'll be covering some more of this as the show goes along, but I'm ready to go to the phones already if you are. You want to be after, what does that say?
Debbie.
Yeah, you want to be after Debbie, 504-260-0995. Debbie and Slidell, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you?
Yes, sir. I am on Social Security, and I still work, and I work for the school board. I've been working for them almost 10 years. I just found out that when I do decide to retire, I'm 66, I'm going to get 2/3 of my Social Security taken away from me, because I am going to get a small pension from the school board. Is there any way that I could maybe put my school board pension into something that I won't get 2/3 of my Social Security check taken away from me? Or is it, am I going to get penalized?
The only way you can stop the pension from affecting your Social Security is do not turn it on. It's simple as that. So, but also that tells me you turned on Social Security early.
No, I'm 66. I did it at 65, and okay. I am 66. So I get Social Security, and I'm still working.
So when are you turning on the pension?
Well, I'm not turned it on yet. I'm probably, if I'm going to get 2/3 of my Social Security taken away from me, I don't know when I'm going to retire.
Are you married?
No.
Okay. So it's your Social Security check that's going to be affected?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's called the windfall elimination provision. And who informed you of that?
A Social Security Department. I called them.
That wasn't a good call for you, was it?
No, it wasn't, because I felt that, you know, instead of after Hurricane Katrina, instead of just laying around doing nothing, I went out and got another job, and I could have got into the system, I guess, and that worked, but I chose to work, and I worked before that to collect a $600 check from Social Security, and two-thirds of that's going to be taken away from me.
So how many years have you worked for the state?
Well, it's going to be 10, a little over 10.
And it's going to affect you by two-thirds.
Yes, it's going to be a Social Security check will be affected by two-thirds.
She doesn't have 30 years, maybe, of a work record before that?
How many years did you work in the private sector?
Probably around 30.
Now, did they ask for income numbers? Did they see numbers?
No, they asked me what was the pension about going to be around from the state. And I was only guessing. I said around 600. And the lady said, well, you're going to get two-thirds of your Social Security check taken away from you.
And she just said that. That might,
yes.
I'm going to put this out there, that I don't know that that's quite accurate. I don't think there's enough information given. One of the workarounds on the windfall elimination provision is you have 30 or more years of substantial earnings under Social Security. So you're pretty sharp. So one of the things you can do is go to Google and type in windfall elimination. And there's going to be a PDF pops up called the windfall elimination provision. And the line I just read you is at the bottom right corner of page one. Page two, the lower half shows you what the substantial earnings are for that year. So you can do a little homework and figure out and try to be a little bit tighten up this number, because it just seems to me they gave you a brief answer based on a little information. So they gave you a quick answer. Now that answer might be correct, but you can drill down on this a little bit, because also you can go and type in windfall elimination calculator. And the Social Security website, which is ssa.gov, has a lot of calculators. And one of them is the windfall elimination provision calculator. So you can enter some information and it gives you a pretty good idea of how this might be affected. And your Social Security record, have you signed up on the Social Security website?
No,
for
I
your
haven't.
Account? That's look, yeah. That's something you might want to do. It also helps protect your identity, you know, meaning you're the only one that can get that information and you need to be the first one to log in. You've turned 66. So I would sign up for the online website. That way you can also pull your history, unless you do have a recent Social Security statement from them, but you get that data, get to the calculators, and it gives you a better, that can be helpful to your situation, because when you turn on your pension, it is going to affect your Social Security. I'm just not sure they gave you an accurate amount. I hope not. I hope it's affecting you less than that.
I hope not either, because it's a big chunk, and that therefore, you know, I can't retire on the small pension I would be getting from the school board. And, you know, so
that's why I don't think it's accurate. They gave you an accurate number. Follow my instructions, go to the website and find the calculators and input some data and work through it and call us back. Let us know what you find out.
There's a good chance you could work all the way around that one. That would be much
Thank you,
better.
Debbie.
Roberts, New Orleans, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Robert?
Yeah, I had a question. I've got some real estate. I'd like to pass it on to my children. I'd like to be in the form of a trust. I'm just curious, what kind of powers can I vest in a trust if I wanted the property to be continued to be managed by private management? Do I have to distribute all the income? Can I direct the trust to purchase additional properties in the future? Or am I just, like, out of luck? And also, in Louisiana, is there anything like a perpetuity trust?
What was that last part?
The perpetuity.
Yeah, like a trust that lasts in perpetuity.
We're not at the attorney level. We have a member of our Total Wealth Authority that is Wes Blanchard. I would have to look that up or reach out to him on the perpetuity. But it sounds like you're wanting a lot of control in this trust to do things beyond your life.
Yes.
And that sounds like an irrevocable trust could be something you're looking for.
All right.
Revocable trust is something that's unwound and basically means to move through succession and unwind those assets, where irrevocable trust gives you more control beyond your life, and it will follow your instructions. Now, how far can it go in perpetuity? That I don't know, and that's why you should, you know, use actual legal counsel like Wes Blanchard on this topic, somebody that deals in it every day.
All right. One last question is, I know trusts are taxed. Is it taxed before it's distributed and then taxed again at my income level, or is it whatever is distributed not taxed?
What, now, once again, going in, I'm not an attorney and I'm not Jude Heath, which is a CPA, as a member of our Total Wealth Authority. So we always rely on these people to handle these parts. But if the trust is going to hold assets, that's when it's going to be taxed. And it is the problem with that, leaving money in a trust to be there when the tax return is done. It gets maxed at tax, gets taxed at max tax bracket. So if you distribute the income or assets, it's not going to be taxed if it doesn't remain in the trust.
Great questions, Robert. Glad you chimed in. Hope we can hear from you in the future. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life. And oh my gosh, it's the Daily Wrap. We're here every evening for you. 7 o'clock, financial guidance at its best. Look what all we fielded. We fielded trust questions, Social Security, windfall elimination, pensions, all in one. We get those both of those questions all the time, even during the day at my day job. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. That's James Parker. And you can, rest of you can talk to us too. Get the phone, make the call, 504-260-0995. Download that Winning at Life app. Yeah, it's an easy download. Just type in your app store. You know where that's at. It's on your smartphone screen. Hit it with what finger do you like to use?
I'm a thumb guy.
Thumb guy. Well, yeah, that works. Okay, thumb it and then type in Winning at Life. Free download, one-time login. I guess you're just putting in a first name and an email address and creating a password of your own that you like. Simple or complicated, we don't mind. You know, imagine some of those. You got to be 12 letters, 2 digits. What's the other? Another character that's not.
Yeah, a special character. I think you need an emoji and a drop of blood.
And then you're in.
That's all.
But you can text us, email us, even call us from the touch screen. It connects you to the stream. We get preempted during NBA basketball season by the Pelicans, which means we're on the stream. So you can use the app to get you over to the iHeartRadio stream to pick up the show. And we're getting closer every day to that new podcast library, but you can listen to existing stream shows that we've done in the past, stream existing recordings of past shows. So and that was one of the topics we were going to talk about tonight is trusts.
Right.
Yeah. Did you see where After Hours, throw in some After Hours numbers, Netflix?
I did see Netflix.
12% After Hours. I don't know where it's at the moment, but I looked at that this afternoon. I thought that was pretty good. I've not read what they did, and obviously it was good stuff, but that's kind of expected.
That the After Hours report obviously did good. We'll break that one down in the numbers segment.
Yeah, so here is something, I call it a pet peeve, because I work in this industry, and sometimes, and I'm going to tell you about shortcuts some of these professionals do, and I won't give it the name advisors, but could be advisors too that do this. So a lot of us are dual licensed, and what dual license means, we have a Series 65 license to be a fiduciary and also carry an insurance license, and our firm carries both. We're fiduciaries and we carry an insurance license, because as a fiduciary, we can work in the investment world, mutual funds, ETFs, individual securities, manage money, and give advice that's in your best interest. The insurance license is a carryover for that, which allows, in my view, to use fixed tools, meaning you can put money to work that's backed up and guaranteed by the reserves of the insurance company. So we kind of treat that, I'll just say, as risk averse, because it's principal protected, backed up by the reserves of the insurance company. So what we're working in that world is an upside, not a downside. And a lot of people in the industry, and it's something you might want to ask about if they're dual licensed, because not everybody's in the investment world is licensed as a fiduciary. They're expected to act as one, but they might not be licensed to where they have to be representing you as a fiduciary, putting your interests first. There's other types of securities license for them to handle transactions for you. On the insurance side, going back to that, you have a lot of people that are insurance licensed only. They don't have a fiduciary. It doesn't make them a fiduciary. Should they act as one? Yes, but they have no requirement to do so. They have no oversight. They're not being audited by FINRA or the SEC. They do have rules to follow and suitability. Everybody in all worlds have suitability, because that's part of figuring out what's in your best interest. But what gets me is the folks that do shortcuts and really cheats on suitability. And I see it. I'll say I see it all the time. Like, how did they shift all of that money into the insurance world? Mainly we're talking about, for example, annuities, whether it's variable annuities or fixed. Variable requires an insurance license and a variable license and a broker dealer to write that business through, which the broker dealer is not the RIA, and doesn't necessarily have to be a fiduciary either to have a variable license. I know I just complicated it, but let's go back to the insurance side, and there's rules of, especially on the fixed side or variable side, that there's rules to only so much money can be put into that world. And I'm not meaning you have 300,000 and they put the whole 300,000 out there. Somebody's breaking rules. That's not suitable. You have 500,000 and they put 450,000 of it. No, that's not suitable. And it also varies by company, but here's a common rule. It's kind of a 50-50 blend is at most it can be. Now, you have some situations where folks are saying, well, look, I don't like risk. I don't want anything attached to risk. Okay. With approval, we might be able to get as much in as, say, 60% into the where you have a protected principal balance, but you can't get all that money in. Why? Here's the core reason. Annuities have surrender periods, meaning there's a fee to exit. You can pull your money out, but there's a fee to exit, and whoever's guiding you should be looking out for your liquidity, capability of generating income, and whatever they're using should be able to generate income. But, you know, there's a company that, you know, the first two letters of their name rhymes with owl. And I'll leave it at that, because we had one come across our plate, and because we saw assets move from our custodian, which is Fidelity Investments, and it was a transfer of asset request from owl. Or I could, you know, Alley would kind of be, it would rhyme with that, but there's more to the name. Starts with A-L. L also, throw another L in there. Okay. So when we saw the assets go out, one of my advisors that was working with that client called them up to ask what was going on. And they said, yeah, I'm getting 30% bonus and I can grow the money and so forth. And that person received their contract yesterday, came in, and Nick went over it with them and basically found out there's a lot of misleading. The client understood that was actual 30% gain, and it's 30% that applies for the income rider. And you've got to leave the money 10 years there to turn on the income. And you don't get that money if you walk away. That's growth of the income account, not growth of the account value. And there's more involved in that. But what he did do is go back and look at suitability, and suitability was not completed correctly because he already had a fixed annuity that was being treated as bond-like was left over, because if they were operating under suitability, they would not have been able to take that $105,000 and put it with Al E. And so then that annuity sale wouldn't happen, and that guy probably wouldn't have made $6,000 or $7,000 in commission or whatever it is he made. Maybe more, maybe less. I don't know. But was that the incentive to cheat to get that money? Because he cheated, and we're going to let him know about it. Al is going to find out tomorrow about the suitability on that, and then they'll decide what to do. But I know they're pretty strict, but there should not be cheating going on out there. This is people's money. This is about doing the right thing. Cause I wonder that. I was like, we could never get that deal done through. And we see it all the time. And what it tells me is they're not being accurate on suitability. You're getting sent a copy of that. You need to look at it. And you need to make sure they listed your assets properly. And if you're buying a fixed annuity or a variable, you probably should get a second opinion.
All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory 504-260-0995. We'll take some calls when we get back. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I was having a talk with Nick today, and he's one of my advisors. I'm Gregory Ricks, host of Winning at Life, and that's James Parker. But I was giving him description, talked to him about, I said, dude, you have the best deal here. You know, he's one of our top advisors. And I said, dude, you have the best deal here. And I was explaining, you know, what I have to do on leases and how the lease works and the triple net. And then I said, you know, the thing that really gets me, and then I said, well, you know, it's how the memories drown the whiskey. It just clicked in my head, mm-hmm. But I knew what I was doing. But, you know, it's from Jason Aldean song. And the thing back about triple net is, yeah, I'm renting the space from you, but I'm handling everything as if I own the building.
I'm doing everything except the owner.
Right. You got to do the,
and that means they have a really good deal.
They got a great deal. So you're doing the rent, insurance, and taxes. Isn't that what triple net is?
You're responsible for everything.
All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call Gregory 504-260-0995. Charles Slidell, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Charles?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, good.
Hey, Charles.
All right. Now I'm trying to find out what's the best way for me to, I want to retire at the age of 62.
Okay. And your age now?
57.
57.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, well, let's get started then. You're 62. Are you married?
No, 57.
57.
Yes, I'm married. Retired. I just 62. Got married to my wife, a new wife and everything in February.
How old is she?
She's 50.
50 and you're 57. Does yes, she sir. Work? Does she work?
Yes. Yes, she works.
Do you work?
Yes, I'm an iron hanger. I hang steel and crane operate.
Okay, so how much do you have saved in your retirement plan now?
Well, none right now. Not yet. I haven't really saved anything, you know.
Do you have a 401k at your work?
No, we have no benefits union? Whatsoever.
No benefits whatsoever. So you do no, you sir. Have an IRA that you've been funding on your own?
Pretty much, yeah, me and her, you know.
Okay. How much is in your IRA?
I'm not sure. Like I say, I'm looking to retire at 62, but I'm 57, and I didn't know how bad of a penalty I would be taking or what, you know, doing
it. Well, there's no penalty if you're taking money out of an IRA after age 59 and a half. There's no 10% penalty. So do you have more or less than $100,000 in that IRA?
Well, I probably make $40,000 or $50,000 a year.
$40,000 or $50,000 yeah. a year.
$45,000, $50,000 somewhere around there, you know.
Yeah.
Every year varies.
Okay, I get that. So, do you not have money saved in an IRA?
I don't even know nothing about. I'm good with my hands. Okay. I don't know really nothing.
So you really don't know about IRAs and such. Do you understand how Social Security works?
Not really, to be honest.
Okay. Well, there's a benefit, but if you're starting at age 62, you're taking almost a 30% reduction from what would be the value at your full retirement age. So depending on your date of birth, that's probably FRA for you is probably going to be age 67 to get the full financial benefit. So it depends on your work history. Have you received a Social Security statement lately?
No, not as I probably received one maybe 6-10 years ago, maybe.
Okay. So that's why also you might want to go to SSA.gov. That's a Social Security Administration.gov and sign up for your Social Security account online so you can see what your earnings history is, and it'll also tell you what your benefit would be at age 62 at your full retirement age, which I'm assuming is 67, and also if you wait to age 70. So based on what you've saved, all you have is Social Security at this time, and you're going to need to save a substantial portion of your income to impact that at all. It's not about the return. It's not about risk. It's how much you can put away. And the thing is, when you start looking at those numbers and you're making $45,000 to $50,000 to $55,000 a year, it varies. We understand your Social Security is going to be one heck of a lot less than that. And then you're reducing it even more because you're wanting to turn it on at age 62. My recommendation, just on this little bit of information, is work longer than stopping at age 62. In fact, work as long as you possibly can up towards 70, because that means you're getting a larger Social Security benefit and it gives you time to save some money along the way. I don't, you know, Is your house paid for? Do you pay rent? You buying?
Well, me and my wife, we was trying to pay off my truck, my bike, and get a camper, and just me and her living a, $20,000-$30,000 camper, because the house is in her name and her ex-husband's, you see?
Okay. So what is she going to do with that house?
Well, once the boys are 18, probably her ex is going to make them sell it, you know what I'm saying? Because the boys aren't 18 yet, the youngest one.
I see. Obviously, that property settlement has not quite been worked out in that case there. So once it goes back, it depends on what your retirement goals. The 20 to 30 foot camper might be that retirement goal for you, but things are still going to cost money and you're retiring at 62. Your bike might last a long time. I've seen some pretty old Harley, assuming it's a Harley or something. Is that what we're talking about?
Yes.
Okay. Well, look, I've seen some 1920s Harleys and stuff like that. They could last a long time. You take care of them. Don't mean they'll run that well or get you to where you're going, but that pickup truck you have, that's going to get paid off. I don't know if that dude's going to last 20, 30 years into retirement, but I've seen some old Chevys and Fords from the 50s running around. Hey, when I was in college, I had one that, it was a 53 Ford I restored. Then I sold it. And then the guy tore it up. I'm like, I shouldn't have sold that truck. Hopefully that helps you, Charles. You might want to look at the numbers of that Social Security statement. You may need to work longer. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for calling, Charles. Well, I was kind of worried about him until he verbalized what his retirement goal is, and that's just getting a little 20-foot camper. And if that's his idea of heaven, well, that sounds a lot more doable than maintaining a full lifestyle on such.
Yeah. And don't be judgmental. If that works, look, there's people that retire, buy a trailer, sell their house, and they just travel around the country at trailer park stuff. You see them, you pass them.
Oh, sure.
Just don't do it when a hurricane's coming. I'll tell you that, because it's not going to fare well.
Well, you just drive away from the hurricane.
Yeah. You just head north. And actually head northwest, generally, is the idea.
Fewer hurricanes in the Rocky Mountains, isn't there?
Yeah. Actually, what is hurricane season?
It ends in November.
Yeah, but when does it start?
June 1st.
Okay, from June to November, stay out in the Midwest.
Of course, then there's tornadoes, but can't get everything. Yeah. I think you got to get up in the mountains.
And then there's earthquakes in California, fires. So, gosh, where's the sweet spot? Tennessee?
New Mexico?
I don't see. Now it's always something. However, what he's looking for, as long as he can pay the bills, and that's why he needs to go check out Social Security statement. He has, 3 years to work?
Five. He's 57.
Yeah, I know. I keep getting his age wrong there. But 5 years to work, so there should be some saving of money there. So really, what kind of the focus on the first part is an adequate amount of emergency savings. If something happens to part the trailer, the truck, the bike, medical costs. And I hate to put a number on it for him, but I'll just say this. It needs, the emergency fund means more than $5,000. I had somebody give me a second look in a meeting the other day. I said, all your numbers look good, but the problem I see here is your emergency savings. And he had $2,500, and he looked at me. I said, yeah, that's not getting it done. We need to work toward, because he had asked, I've got some extra money. Should I invest it? No. We got to work on this emergency savings and get it to a reasonable number.
All right, we'll continue with the calls when we return. If you want to get in line, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Yeah, this is a live show. We're taking calls. We've had a bunch already. We've got Joe coming up, then Kenny. You know what they did? They got the phone. They followed us. I said, get the phone, make the call. 504-260-0995.
800-795-0995. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker.
Real quick, next live event coming up November 14th, 6:30 p.m. Ruth, Chris, and Metairie. It's Gregory Ricks Live. Who needs to go?
Everyone that wants to build multiple streams of income, reduce taxes, and understand how to correlate risk.
All right. RSVP with the app. Go to GregoryRicks.com or call the office phone number 504-832-9200. Joe Metairie, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Joe?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Good afternoon.
Awesome.
I wanted to ask a question about Social Security. I'm getting all kind of different answers. I call Social Security office and talk to two different people. I got two different answers. And so I thought I'd go to the authority. If my wife and I have been married almost 34 years, we've both been full-time employed, paying into Social Security. I just turned 63. She's going to be 59 next year. And I'm thinking about retiring early next year. If I turned on my Social Security, would she get her full amount when she reaches 62 also, or does she get half? One person told me that she does. Another person at Social Security told me that she would get half of what I get, but not less than $1,000.
Well, it depends on what her work record is. Is she working now?
Yes.
She's not retired.
Yes, and she earns more than I do. I earn about $59,000 a year. She makes about $72,000 a year. She's been making that for at least, I would say, 15, 20 years now. But, you know, she's been at the same job since high school. So, and she makes pretty good money, usually more than me. I used to make more than her, but she got more raises than I did. Mine got frozen for a while. And so we're kind of in a situation now where I'd like to, my health is not allowing me to work at the job that I do much longer, and it's strenuous work, and you know, at 63 I'm getting kind of worn out. So I was thinking about retiring, and I will get a pension, she'll get a pension, and she'll get a Social Security supplement till she's 62, at which time she could start collecting Social Security. She has a 401k, and I have thrift savings plan.
So, okay. So here's the rules now. At age 67 is your FRA. That means full retirement age. So when you're turning it on, Social Security on before that, you're going to reduce the benefit. Now, yours may be 60. I'm not asking
mine,
a year, but to make it
66 in 2 months.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Yours might be 66 and a few months in that case. Hers is going to, she's right there at that crossover subject to her age. But what we're talking about is full retirement age being about 66, let's say, round it. And that means you get your full Social Security benefit. If you're turning it on at age 63, you're reducing that benefit. Your wife, in her case, when she goes to turn it on, she's going to turn on whichever is larger, the spousal benefit, which is one half of yours, or her work record, which in this case, it's going to be her work record because it's going to be larger. She's going to draw on her benefit because her income's larger than yours. Her Social Security benefit's likely to be larger than yours. She doesn't have a choice to draw on yours and then switch hers on later. But hers, if she turns hers on at age 62, hypothetically, it's being reduced from the full retirement age benefit. Does that help you?
Yes, it does. And also, her aunt and uncle, her aunt's about 9 years older than she is. And they were told at the Social Security, they live in North Louisiana, they were told at the Social Security office that their full retirement age is 66 years and 2 months. And I told them, I said, y'all need to check into that. I said, because I think if y'all were born before 1954, 66 is your full retirement age, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
And they're waiting until they have another maybe 8 months to go, and they're waiting until they're 66 in 2 months. And I told them, I said, y'all, once you reach 62, I said, check it out and make sure. They said, well, we checked with the Social Security office in Monroe, and they said that our full retirement age is 66 years and 2 months. And one
tell them to log into their account, and it'll...
That's what I'm about to tell. They need to go to SSA.gov, set up their online account, and go look at their Social Security statement. The Social Security statement's going to give them 100% accurate date that their full retirement age starts.
Thank you very much for the call, Joe. Let's do Kenny and Covington. You're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey, Kenny, how can we help you, bud?
Good evening. Good evening. How are you? I just wanted to bounce something off of you. I see a little bit of different advice. I've got two different accounts, an IRA, an individual account from a previous job that I rolled over years ago, and it's being managed by an individual. And then I have a 401k at work that I put as much toward it as I can. I'm 41, and I guess I'm just trying to figure out, am I doing what I need to be doing, or am I behind? It seems like I'm behind, but I don't know. How far am I behind is really the question.
So what's the value of those two accounts combined?
The IRA has about 130 in it, and the 401k has about 60 in it.
Okay. How much are you adding a year?
I do 5% in the standard, the regular retirement. And
give me a number. Give me a number, not a percentage. How much is that a year with the matching?
Good question. Let me think. Let's see. I do, it's probably around 8,000. Yeah, about 8,000 or 9,000 a year total between standard and Roth. 8% is... I do 5 and 3 Roth, 5 the other. That's probably between 8,000 and 9,000.
So without figuring any compounding, what you're also telling me, based on current numbers, you're going to put away about 200K over the next 20 years, and you have close to 200K now, so you're at 400,000. So we need to add the number in. What we have is the guided planning system. It's a workbook that we populate, put where the money's at. We put in a reasonable expectation to kind of give you an idea of where you're going to be at down the road. And we can plug in Social Security, pension, and so forth, depending if you're retiring at 60, 65, or 70. And that helps give you an idea of where you're going. You are putting away money, you're going to make money, and you're going to put away more. And my suggestion is you're probably needing to get more put away than 8,000 a year. One of the things you need to think about is you need to get this thinking in your head just right. You have to have $1 million. And it's probably going to need to be more, but just thinking of $1 million in today's dollars, 4% stream, 40,000 a year, your Social Security call it 30, they're 70. Can you make it on 70,000 a year in the future?
Thank you, Kenny. Let's do John in Lockport. You're going to be last up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, John?
Hi, Gregory. A first-time caller, a long-time listener, so I may be a little nervous. But I have a situation where I'd like to retire at 60 or 62. But I have the guy who called earlier kind of has the same idea. I'd like to sell my home and buy an RV and travel. And end up with some type of real estate later on in life. But I have a pension at work. I have a 401k and some small investments.
So what's that 401k worth?
Right now it's about 472.
472,000 monthly pension is projected to pay you at 65 about how much?
Well, the pension would be at any age, so I can get out at 60.
How much?
Be 4,300.
So about 50K there, about 20K off of assets. Social Security, depending on when you turn that on, are you a state employee?
No, sir.
Okay, so Social Security eligibility theirs into the mix. One thing about these travel trailers, motorhomes, these things wear out. They don't last. They're going to break. You're going to have to fix them. You have to budget in there. Fuel's going to go up. Inflation, you're going to factor into that. You do have some good numbers. Just need a deeper conversation. That's why I have a daytime job. You can call my office. The office number is 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com. Thank you for the call, John.
And thank you very much for tuning in. Your home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.